Commission may come to me to hold the finance policy and justice. It's Tuesday, May 10th, 2011. The time
six
is
seven.
6:07. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Berkson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Cowart.
Present.
Esrey. Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay. Jones.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor. Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards. Rosales.
Here.
Sapp.
Here.
Schrader. Weibel.
Here. We have a quorum. Seek approval of the minutes for Committee of the Whole Lands, April 12, 2011.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Carter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Kohler. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Michael. Switch your sign.
Excuse me?
Mr. James. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. Apparently not before tonight. We're in a moment. Communications. I have one thing here. We've got a note to the board that I meant to send out this morning, but I failed in that to attach it to the email I sent to CAP, so you have a hard copy of it on your desk. The main thing is it has a tentative schedule for the voting on maps from the redistricting committee. And of course, it's tentative. We depend on what we get out of it. Any other communications? Something I am setting up in case it comes to us, how we'll react. What they do is independent, maybe independent. I'm just guessing what they'll do. That's why it's tentative.
Thank you.
Ms. Coleman.
Going back to the memo you sent out, I thought we were going to have several maps to look at.
That's possible. I don't know that. That is possible. Mr. Kirby.
Maybe I mean, incorrect, but May 11th and May 12th are not the correct dates. There was no commission meeting on May 11th, was there? Was that the
one?
That's tomorrow.
That was,
and
the next one is on the 16th.
May 16th?
There will be one on the
16th. Monday. Well, I don't think that correct. Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
The 16th will be commission meeting, not the 11th. And on that date, we should have all the maps by the 16th.
That's right. Take the 10th. So there's no meeting tomorrow?
What's that?
Oh, there's going to be. I thought there was a meeting tomorrow. I'm just curious.
Well, because the map will be ready.
Okay, I didn't know. Like I said, I wasn't paying attention to what they're doing.
And then the 19th, we'll probably have the maps.
Okay, anyway, you have no idea what's going on. What it comes down to, if this is any idea, we'll be voting on the map at regular county board meetings. Okay?
Just as an FYI, the commission will have a public hearing on May 16th.
Correct.
And the county board anticipating a public hearing on May 19th before the board meeting on the map?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So that would be at 6:30?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now there's communications. Okay, seeing none. Justice Social Services, Mr. Richards is not making it on. Mr. Carter said, I guess, please, one item here. For him, we have five reports, animal control from March 2011, EMA from April 2011, Head Start Vehicle, Salvation Club Services for March, Public Defense for January. All of these are on our website. We have a motion to accept to place on file.
So
moved by Mr. James, second by Mr. Benson. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. No other business, the chair obviously has no report. Policy.
Good evening, policy personnel appointments. We have several appointments on here. We'll start with item number one, Board of Review, term 6-1-2011 to 5-31-2013. Mr. Wyburn.
I nominate Laura Sandoval.
Is there a second for that nomination?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ellis. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That passes. Item number two, Farmland Assessment Review Committee, term 6-1-2011 to 5-31-2015. Mr.
Weibel. Nominate Mr. Steve Mosier.
Second.
Second by Mr. Rosales. Any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposition? That motion passes. Item three, Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District. One vacancy, term 6-1-2011 to 5-31-2014. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Ms. Diana Leonard.
Second.
Second by Mr. Beck. Is there any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Number four, Beaver Lake Drainage District, to fill vacancy from Wayne Busbone, resignation, term 5-20-2011 to 8-31-2011. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Daniel Eller.
Mr. Daniel Eller. Is there a second to that nomination of Daniel Eller? I'm sorry, second by Mr. James. Any discussion on that item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion carries. Item number five, Zoning Board of Appeals, one vacancy available, term 5-20-2011 to 11-30-2015. Mr. Weibel.
My nomination is Brad Pasalacqua.
Is there a second to this? Second by Mr. Betts. Any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion passes. Item six is Penfield Water District, term 6-1-2011 to 5-31-2014.
Mr. Weibel. I nominate Mr. Steve Parrish.
Second.
It's been nominated and seconded by Mr. Betts. Any discussion on this item? All in favor on this nomination?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion passes. Item 7 is Sangamon Valley Public Water District, term 6-1-2011 to 5-31-2014. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Paul Kleinbell.
Is there a second?
Second.
So Ms. Anderson seconded. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion passes. B, County Administrator Report.
The first item is the vacant positions listing for your information. The second item, there is a memo in your packet on pages 40 and 41 explaining a proposal for the establishment of an ongoing health insurance committee to be made up of employees and management and county board members to work with our broker in an ongoing fashion on the issue of health insurance, and particularly for this committee to work on annually coming up with the recommendation for the county board and for the labor agreements for health insurance structure. And so this is before you with the request that you would agree with the appointment of two county board members to this committee.
Therefore, I'd like to nominate Ms. Ashley Burson and Ms. Stephanie Holderfield for this committee. The terms of the appointment to our term in office, so be it. Two-year term minus what we did so far through December 1.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ellis. Any discussion on these two nominations? Ms. Petrie and then Ms. Fuller.
It's not on the nominations, but it's a question from SBC about the committee. Your recommendation has been to become a permanent standing committee within the county structure.
Not sure I would phrase it quite that way. This is a committee to assist the county administrator in the annual working through and coming up with recommendations for health insurance. This is not a committee that would be subject to the Meetings Act. This is an administrative function to provide advice, but to also ensure that employees have the opportunity to participate in and provide their insight and their resources as we're looking at the issue of health insurance each year.
And I think just off of that, Mr. Craig's forward, one of the things that Mr. Weibel just pointed out is that any committee that we set for this board may not be returned in the next board. And so it's only for the duration of this board's time. Ms. Fuller.
Yes, I see Larry's staff name down here. So we're going with Ms. Fuller here.
That's good.
Yeah, I'll ask Ms. Fuller.
Yeah, the others are not appointed by the county board, but those are the individuals who have agreed to participate in the process.
Any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion carries.
The next item is a request for your authority to release an RFP for mail services, and it begins on page 42 with an explanation, and then the actual RFP is in the packet.
Any discussion on these items? Mr. White, I'm sorry.
We're not aware that there are many of them in this area, but we will, maybe two or three with one major one.
Any other questions on the release of this RFP? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Item C is two requests, and I'd like to ask for the omnibus on both of these. Request approval of proclamation designating the week of May 1st as National Correction Officer Week. And item two, request approval of proclamation designating the week of May
1st.
15th. As National Police.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mr. Sass, second by Mr. Kurtz. Is there any discussion on this? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion carries. Treasurer, request opposition to House Bill 1218 and support for Senate Bill 1710 regarding regulations of tax sales of delinquent property. Is there a motion? Mr. Lincoln, second by Mr. James. Is there any discussion on this request from the Treasurer? I guess we really can't ask the Treasurer. But any general questions that maybe we can ask from the Speaker?
Would he be available for the meeting next Thursday so we can ask him some questions while he's taking these bridges that are standing?
I can't guarantee that. We can certainly send him a request for that. If you don't support it at the committee, certainly you can keep it on for
All right. Thank you very much.
What does it mean when you have a bid of 18% or 0%? What are they bidding?
I think that the idea being that, and kind of think I understood, but there are real estate people in here that might understand better than me. But what I took away from that House bill was this was designed around a particular county where the person there was doing,
wrote
a name, and he was taking the highest interest level on the property, and then they were, of course, recouping that money internally instead of the lowest price to sell it to people. And so they put this out as a safeguard. I would say try to fix that.
I'm just trying to understand, what does 1% mean?
I think that's how much the sale is. Is that right, Mr. Allen?
The general process of a tax sale is the people who are buying the taxes, so to speak, bid is essentially the reverse auction. which is basically how much they are going to charge the delinquent taxpayer in interest to redeem the property. And so the way it's supposed to work is you're supposed to take the low bid, which is the person who's most favorable to lending the money essentially to the delinquent taxpayer to pay the taxes.
Thank you.
Ms. Anderson, did you have a question? I was just going to say thank you because I had some of the same questions. I was trying to figure out who was paying for 1%. And I thought that really was the opposite of the business. So that makes sense. Thank you.
Any other discussion on that? Mr. Warren.
It appears he's asking for a letter of support. In the past, letters of support can come right out of committee. But the past is now.
Right, I guess the question from Ms. Petrie wouldn't get answered by Dan if we went on and authorized the letter of support.
The resolution is
so perhaps, Mr. Weibel, you could intervene with that. So I don't know what action we would take on this at this point, except to that we can move from the committee. All right, so we'll go ahead and vote on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Aye.
That motion will continue then. Item E, County Clerk, monthly fees reporting for student government. Moved by Mr. Bennett, second by Ms. Fuller. Any discussion on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, motion carries. Item F, ordinance establishing Champaign County 2011 apportionment plan. Moved by Mr. Kurtz, is there a second? Second by Mr. Gonzalez. Discussion. Ms. Petrie.
I move to divide this into two parts. One part.
Been moved by Ms. Petrie and seconded by Mr. Langenheim to divide. Discussion on the motion to divide. Roll call request and seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Any other discussion on Ms. Fuller? Ms. Fuller, use your mic so we can.
Because my suggestion for dividing was that it's two entirely separate issues.
I guess these subjects have been debated quite a bit, and I fail to see why we want to take it to another level again. And I would vote not to separate. This has been discussed ad nauseum. We've got a commission that's working on 2011. And I just fail to see why we're beating this to death. And I mean it, to death. Basically, one or two people have brought this up, and we haven't changed their mind. So I'm just trying to figure out why we're doing this again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Langenheim.
Yes. The proposition regarding the size of the board. The proposition regarding the pay of the board members utterly unrelated. And it's entirely possible that the board members might favor one and not the other and feel extracted in having to vote for both of them at the same time. If, as the right honorable member from whatever district it comes from, is correct, and we've already made up our mind, why are we voting at all?
Any other members want to discuss this issue before we have a roll call? The roll call is on the motion to divide. All right.
Question call room.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Binzel.
No.
Berkson.
No.
Betts.
No.
Carter.
No.
Coert. No. Esri. Holderfield.
No.
James.
No.
Jones.
No.
Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
No.
Michaels.
No.
Nudo.
No.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards. Rosales.
No.
Sapp. Weibel.
The motion fails. Back to the main motion of establishing the Champaign County 2011 apportionment plan. Any other discussion on that item? If roll call requested, is there a second for the roll call or is that a discussion?
Sure.
Your motion to amend is to amend this to $45, and what was the second part?
Right, $45.
Second. Ms. Spence, the motion to amend is seconded by Mr. McGinty. Any other discussion on motion to amend to reduce the pay? $45 and
just
Mr.
McGinty. I think more accurately it is to keep the status quo.
Status quo, good. Mr. Carter.
Yeah. Well, I'm here, that's what it is now. What do we need to write it in? Let me go through that.
I think that's what Mr. McGinty wants, to keep status quo. Any other discussion on this motion?
Well, I can't support that at all. When we discussed this in the study session, we calculated that the $45 now today is $85, and this is going to be set for 10 years, even though in theory it can be changed tomorrow on the next 10 years from the, after the 2012 election. So that would put it then, as I calculated it, at least $100. So to set it at $45, it's ridiculous. And when I looked everything up on what's happening in the counties through the Association of Counties in Illinois, every single county is raising their rate of reimbursement for members of the county board and setting up funds for education and covering pilot work. And so for us, we are at the second from the bottom right now, and in 10 years, they won't even have a line on the chart for us. Thank you. Thank you. Any other discussion, Mr. Jennings?
Well, on the dam, I'm going to support what Larry and I have said, because not only are we talking about increasing the dam, but we're also talking about increasing the meeting, because we're being added across our town. And so I don't want to be unbiased and stay at home. I would rather attend based on his advice to me. But, so I'm going to support Larry now and just keep it as is.
Any other discussion on this? Mr. Jones.
I just don't see why it needs to be raised at all. I don't see what that's going to make the $45 in your meals worth of eating. Now, this is making sense to me. We're not here to be paying. This is supposed to be a public service, and there's really no reason to increase it. Nobody's giving me a reason to increase it. Furthermore, I won't state this again. I say this when we talk about elected official salaries, that we always look out and compare ourselves to other counties, and that means that we're underpaying elected officials, we're underpaying the county board members. And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, we need to make our decisions based on what's best for this county, And I think we need to be a trendsetter in this state as far as wasting public tax dollars and not look at just trying to keep up the other counties. Because, you know, they turn around and do the exact same thing. Well, Champaign County came, their elected officials so-and-so, and they're raising their rates, so we need to raise ours. It's just a circle. There's no reason to keep looking at other counties as a basis for our decisions. And I'd also like someone to tell me that if we raise this to $80, that we're going to get better results from these meetings. I really don't see how that's going to have any effect at all on the work that we get done with tax.
Let's focus on the issues. First, the per diems, I thought it was much less now than they used to be. There are fewer committees. And I look around the board, and you know, we're people who can afford to do it. The current per diem, most people are interested. You can't have somebody who's committed. You can't have somebody who's committed. You need to go out to eat if you have a 5-3 year. I keep really thoughtful.
Mr. Gans, and then Mr. Clement.
I will defer until he's done.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Carter. He deferred to you, Mr. Carter.
Oh, okay. If you feel that severe, why just don't accept the $45? Like I got the gas bar. You don't have to take it. To let the people that need it have it. We're the lowest paid county in the whole state. If you want to look at it, if you want to tell me it's decent, you can't hardly clean your clothes for a little money you get.
Mr. McGinty.
I'm not very concerned about what the stats say. I think that this is a bigger issue about compensation, for example, for board chair related to this. There are only so many people who can do board chair. And there are only so many people who will take a role on like this. We ask a hell of a lot of our employees right now. And to suggest that we deserve significantly more money from a percentage standpoint now than we have been making, I don't care where we are compared to other counties. I think that it's important to, as Mr. Jones suggests, draw the line and set an example for how we are managing our county. I will remind our membership about what we have had to do to put our county in the financial position that it is compared to other counties in this state. And that comes with sacrifice. And when you compare relative sacrifice, ours to accept $45 a meeting is nothing compared to what we're asking of others. I think that this is a reasonable request that another board revisit another time.
Mr. Nudo.
You know, if you step to page 39 and take a look at what the sacrifice was, we've got 14 positions that are vacant that we didn't fill, can't fill. We still have a policy in place on that. And I concur with those who are opposing this. I just don't see this is more in terms of just doing the right thing. I just cannot support giving a 37% raise to the board when others have foregone and increases over the last 3 years. This is, and Esther is exactly right. We can afford this. We do this for a different reason.
I'm going to call it to get back to Ms. Gibson.
I'd like to say that the county board had a sacrifice. The board was able to kind of bring it on the way. We sacrificed our educational benefits for a lot of different seminars and whatever. We cut down on the meetings that we have attended. And so I think we have sacrificed for 10 years. $45 might be a lot for some people, but it's been over 20 years since this need for county board to take this up away. And I don't think the public, because the public already thinks that we make a hell of a lot more money than $45 a meeting. And I can't see where we would be doing any kind of disservice to the county or to the public if we hold on this here raise for up to $80 per meeting. And I'm going to vote for
Ms. Ferguson, if I could just take the point of privilege just for a second. Just for, even though we may have very honorable reasons, in one way we measure against other counties for raises to employees, for recruitment of our administrators, for paying our police departments. We do that all the time. It is a standard practice for this county board, not other people, for this county board to do comparables and comparisons, and since I've been here, we've done a lot of them, have increased salaries in the last year, even though we have cut at the same time. So it is, it will create, there will be an impact of this decision on the composition of this board, on the composition of people's ability to serve. I'm an everyday average worker. I'm in a social field, which we know we don't get paid a lot. But I am just one person, so this is not about whether I get the raise or not. I may not be on this board at all. However, those who are in the financial bracket that I am in, this board will go back to a very class structured board, and that will be an impact result. Maybe that is a fallout of this, but there will be an impact result, and we need to be clear on the impact of this kind of decision. Ms. Burson.
That was my point. When I look around and I see people who have been hurt, I am offended because of all the people who should be here, whom we should hear and see, who can't afford them. This $45 won't pay their costs. It won't pay the babysitter, it won't pay the room.
Mr. Kurtz.
Response to some of my constituents, you know, when they become bored, they have no idea what to do. When I told them $45 a week, they were stuck, literally stuck. In fact, when we go back to the election, the News Gazette wrote an article on this county board, and it was talking about why people want to run for the county board. And one obvious sentence was because of the money they get, and that is a quote from that editorial. And I looked at that and I said, are you dreaming? I could afford $45, but I could afford zero. But the point is that we need to, after 24 years, make a concerted effort to get a little bit of a raise for, I mean, we're talking about $45, $40 to raise it. I don't think there's a problem there. I don't think anyone of our constituents is going to come to us and say, oh, you're stealing taxpayer dollars with $80 a meeting. I don't see that happening. Now, whatever happens, this is not for us necessarily. It will be for the next board. And if we don't do something now, it's another 10 years. Is that correct, Ms. Pearson? Another 10 years before we can do this again? Or 6 years, or 5 years?
You have the opportunity before every election cycle, but this is the last opportunity you have to put it in place for the next group to be elected, where you would be paying the same per diem to all board members at the same time. The only other alternative would be to do it 30 months before it would go into effect, 2.5 years before it would go into effect. And then it could apply to all board members, because you would do it 6 months before the next group is elected, and they wouldn't receive it until the third year if they were going into a fourth situation.
Ms. Michaels, I'm sorry here. Looking around the room, not everybody knows what everybody's situation is. Have no idea what some people have or have not gone through in the last couple of years. So we cannot assume that everybody can or cannot afford this, and I think that's not a good thing. I think it's important that, like some of the other people have said, that our employees are really struggling to try to get things made. And we have ran voluntarily for
for these positions. I'm not saying getting a little something for your time is a bad thing, but I don't feel that at this point that we can actually afford, especially if we go to a third meeting, to add more money to the budget when we're taking away from the employees. And like I said, once again, nobody knows what everybody in this room has gone through in the last couple of years.
Thank you, Ms. Michaels. I appreciate your comments for the finance committee. Ms. Holderfield.
I am going to oppose any kind of a raise. I certainly didn't run for this position for the money. I ran because I wanted to provide a better community to my constituents. I think that I'm just going to have to agree with several of the people that we have asked our employees to take a freeze. We may have a little bit more money now, which is a good thing. And just because we do have a little extra cash, I just don't believe that we should go ahead and spend it on raises for the county board. I think we've got to remember that we are here to provide a service, and if we got nothing, would we all still be sitting here? I didn't even know if there was any kind of a salary when I first started this process. I really didn't care. And when I found out that there would be some reimbursement for my time, I was thrilled, to be real honest. But to have an increase to the next board and be responsible for taking that position, I cannot do that given the financial times that we're all living in. Thank you.
Ms. Betts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to take a different time from my remarks. Again, what a long time this issue has come up on board over and over again. And the impossible things to do with the same process. First of all, I'm going to do this in the other times. It's a red herring, quite frankly. The whole employee issue that we raise is right here. There is no employee who just tells you that it's long without the salary increase for 20 years. If that were the case, there would be not just pickets outside this building, probably objects being thrown at the building. So I think we should stop talking about that this is a relationship to our employees. And when we say that we can increase it later on, let's be realistic, it could be another 10 years because the future board is not going to be willing to increase the per diem for half the members and not the other half and say that someone's worth more than they are. We've gone through that one before, so it will be another 10 years. So it effectively will be 30 years. I think we ought to have a little bit of respect for what we do. I think county board members do a lot of work, answering constituents, reading materials, calling up folks in the county to find out what's going on, going to many meetings that have no freedom whatsoever, because that's what you do as a responsible county board member. I think as county board members, we actually should be attending the National Association of Counties. We would learn so much. I've been able to attend it one time, and I learned so much from other board members, from special presentations. These things are valuable. We no longer do those things, and I think that's a shame. Will $45 make or break most people? Probably not most people. But I can tell you that if we have to do a labor negotiation at 1 in the afternoon and I'm on the labor committee, I have to take a half day off, vacation day. And that is a huge financial loss for me personally. I do it because I like being on the county board. I respect the process and what we need to do. But we do make sacrifices. It's part of what we get into, but I'm not sure any of us got into the idea that we were going to have to use our vacation days to become a county board member and to fulfill some of our goals. We love to beat up on ourselves, and I don't think we should do that. 80 is not a perfect figure, for sure, but I do think it is time that we actually acknowledge that we perform something valuable in this community. Will there be people who say, you get paid too much, and really glad you let us get it? Absolutely. They do all the time. It happens. And I respect the right of people to do that. The most controversial thing over the years that I've ever seen in this issue is how you want to pay. And it's not a partisan issue. It's both sides pledging not to give themselves a raise for their freight. The next election, their fork will say, he voted to give himself a raise. It happens that the nature of politics, but I think we should kind of move off that now.
Mr. Gonzalez.
Roll call.
Roll call, please.
Second.
Mr. President, second.
Clarify that we're going to have five questions.
Yes.
We
are voting on the ordinance established Champaign County 2011 portion.
Amendment.
Motion to amend.
Yes, or to my clarify, yes would be
maintain the status quo. Maintain the status quo.
Right. No would be.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
No.
Anderson.
No.
Benzel.
Yes.
Berkson.
No.
Betts.
No.
Carter.
No.
Coert.
No.
Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
Me.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
No.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
No.
Rosales.
No.
Sapp.
Yes.
Weibel.
The motion fails. Back to the main motion. Mr. President,
I'd like to make a motion similar to Mr. Sass, but just to amend the dollar amount to $60 instead of legal.
Is there a second to Mr. President?
Second.
Second by Mr. James.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with the scorecard here. The motion to divide passed or failed?
Failed.
Okay, so we're voting on the omnibus motion essentially at this point. We're discussing the omnibus motion. Okay.
That's correct.
Mr. Quisenberry has made an amendment to the omnibus motion.
That's right.
Thank you.
And Mr. James has seconded Mr. Quisenberry's request to $60 for the review. Discussion.
Can you repeat the amount?
$60 to the per diem.
Just as a point of clarification, are you only amending the $80 and leaving the two-tiered with the $45? Thank you.
Discussion on this item.
Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. Sapp. Roll call requested. Any other discussion? We roll call on changing the per diem amount to $60 per meeting. The $80 to $60 in the ordinance. That's fine. All right. It's a clerk. Okay, let's clarify yes and no. The yes is to support Mr. Quisenberry's request to change it to $60, and the no is to not support that.
Alex.
No.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
No.
Benzel.
No.
Berkson.
No.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Coert.
Yes.
Holderfield.
No.
James.
No.
Jay. Jones.
No.
Kurt.
What was James?
No.
James was no.
Okay.
Jones was no.
No,
James.
All right. Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
No.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
No.
Nudo.
No.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Rosales.
No.
Sapp.
No.
Weigel.
Yes. All right, that motion fails. Back to the main motion, which is the ordinance establishing Shenandoah County 2011 apportionment plan and omnibus motion. Is there a request for roll call on this?
Roll call.
Roll call requested by Mr. Rosales. Who's the second? Mr. Best seconded. All right.
Would you read the motion as it stands?
Committee? I'll just say that it's on what we have right now, which is the ordinance establishing the Champaign County 2011 apportionment plan as it stands. No, sir.
Mm-mm.
No.
It failed.
That's to keep the. I just really wanted it to curse. Clerk, if you could call the roll on that.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Benzel.
No.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Cowart.
Yes.
Holderfield.
No.
James.
No.
Jones.
No.
Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
No.
Nudo.
Yes.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Weigel.
Yes.
That motion carries. Last item for policy is Chair's report. Number one, recommendation for amendment to resolution number 7143, establishing organization, duties, rules, policies, and procedures of the Champaign County Board. Is there a motion for that?
Second.
Moved by Ms. Petrie, second by Mr. Quisenberry. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Aye.
That motion passes. That's all from policy. Wow. All right, let's go back over.
Point of order. Which items are going to the board?
I'm going to go over that. Items 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry, no, let me correct that. Those that are going on consent are items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, B2, B3, not B3, that's a request. C is on consent.
This will be on the regular agenda because the proclamation
is about. Although it will still be on the agenda, it passed. County Clerk's going to report. That's it.
Thank you. 15 to 6. Which one? Otherwise, the one. First item from finance is the nursing home board. A performance of evaluation of management performance associates located on pages 6475 of your packets. Is there a motion for approval for purposes of discussion?
Second.
Is there a motion, I'm sorry, to receive and place on file? Thank you, by Brad, seconded by James. Sorry, discussion. Carol?
I do need a clarification on this. This is a recommendation. Okay, we're item A1.
Mm-hmm. And just the
thank you very
report.
Much.
Anything else on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 2 is the recommendation for renewal of the contract with MPA. And as a point of information, the contract on 80-104 of your packet under IA. Motion for approval by Tom. Seconded by Stan. Discussion. Carol, go ahead.
Thank you. This, I believe we had a discussion in our caucus meeting about 2 months ago, and certainly at four committee meeting a month ago, asking for an opportunity to have a discussion here on whether we should renew this contract with NPA. That discussion did not take place. The recommendation from the Nursing Home Board of Directors is just that, a recommendation. I would ask that the committee consider other options before we arbitrarily renew this contract. We talked initially with him and the board, and we asked the committee to help turn around the nursing home. That discussion really was to turn around the nursing home, but it was to be a permanent fixture of the nursing home that we would reevaluate.
Chris, then Stan.
I strongly concur with what both Ms. Adams and Mr. Benson said, although I think they're playing and voting different ends. I am impressed by what MPA and the Nursing Home Board working together have been able to do with what my understanding, limited though it may be, is we've heard that situation before they became involved. And I think anytime you're looking at a turnaround of this magnitude, probably 3 years is an unreasonably short period of time to come to a conclusion. So I do think it's appropriate to renew this contract this time, and potentially another time as well. But I do respect the opinion that such an arrangement should not be assumed to be permanent, and that at some point in the future, I think the future board should look at whether either it's more appropriate to bring this function back in-house or to look at alternatives to MPA using a competitive selection process. But I'm wholeheartedly in favor of reviewing this at this point.
Stan and Patsy.
Thomas read my notes, but good for you, Tom. I agree. Scott Tapley, when he was here, twisted my arm a lot. I strongly like Carol against the board giving up their authority over that. I can remember many meetings where we were just bogged down with too much little stuff, not really seeing the big picture, and they've stepped up, and I think it's been running okay. There's room for improvement, yes. I support giving them the contract again, and I also think down the road the Ottawa is taking it back, but do it in a timely manner and work with them where we sort of exchange it and it's running smoothly.
Patsy?
I have felt this way for a long time, that when this contract renewal would come up before the board, that we should have time to sit back and talk about many directions. Some of those would be, are there other people who can do the job? Can we reconfigure this? Right now, the adding up of the numbers that we were given, it's $1 million that have been spent since they took over. Just on the consulting firm and the administrator. That's a lot of money, and that we need to think about how that's being spent. I'm very disturbed in the new contract that the recommendation from the nursing home board is that there's one more degree of separation between the county board and the nursing home board, and that the recommendation is that the nursing home board of directors approve the appointment of the administrator and not the county board. So inch by inch by inch by inch, the nursing home has been removed from really any oversight of the county board, and I find this to be a very dangerous move. So I would really like to see us take this to a study session and ask ourselves exactly what we can do. Maybe we renew the contract for a year, and in that time we look at how we can bring it back under the county board. Or we might find out that this is absolutely the best pathway for us to take. But just being given the renewal contract a priori is not a positive choice. Thank you.
Alan, then Astrid, then James.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I first came on board, we did have control of the nursing home, and my observation was that everybody had an opinion about how the nursing home could be run. It's pretty hard to run a nursing home or any kind of a business entity with 27 different opinions. And so we worked very hard with a number of people to put together the nursing home board and to hire a management firm. I find it amazing to reward the management firm with the kinds of comments that are being made tonight about their performance. I find it amazing, usually with the renewal, is either the fact that they have not performed, or in this case, have miraculously performed, taking it from a $1.8 million deficit to slightly in the black. Now, you could say that, as Ms. Petrie said, that we don't have control over the administrator. Well, that's very true. You know why? Because when we first set that up, the administrator became the employee of MPA. And they have the right, and as an at-will company, to hire and fire. We have not got that. We don't have that right anymore, Patsy. I'm sorry to say, you can't control who the administrator is, and that person's an at-will employee. Secondly, if we hire an administrator, as Ms. Ammons has suggested, we'll be in the same boat as we were with Mr. Buckenbarger, who was given numerous kinds of directions from numerous people on this board, and he didn't know which way to go. Now, same person has direction from one employer. So you cannot go back to us running the nursing home. You get an administrator, you do a search, as Tom pointed out, might take 6 months, and then the next company that comes along and hires that person for 20% more, you're in the same boat with a six-month loss of time to get the next person up to speed. If you think that Management Performance Associates is not doing the job over the next contract, so I fully expect this thing to pass, then you should do an RFP well in advance of this kind of a vote. Now, people have talked about this, and here we come to the final decision-making process, and we're saying let's put out an RFP. Makes no sense. Do a study session and do an RFP after that. Makes no sense. If you want 90 days in advance, put out an RFP so that company knows exactly what their shortcomings are and that you have time to find another company in advance of when the contract ends. That makes sense. I have been to every nursing home board meeting save one with Jim, and I have not seen save Pius. Maybe I'm going to leave somebody out. Any of the other board members coming to these meetings. Haven't seen a one of you. McGinnis, excuse me. You were not a board member at the time. But the point is, I know he was there and he wasn't there. But the point is, we have put in place the proper mechanism to run the nursing home, and I'm not going to just know. I'm not going to see because somebody's ego is involved or somebody's thinking they can do it better or we can hire an administrator better than MPA can do it. I fail to see. I know we can't do that. Further, MPA has all the contacts in the state that gets us out of jams when we are tagged and when we are involved in different things that we as a board or we as somebody as an administrator does not have the contacts. They're in this business.
Astrid, then James, then Jan, then Pius. James was Astrid first.
It's Management Duties number four.
Microphone, please.
It's Management Duties number four here that we're fighting about, and it's really, it's not that we would go out and hire it, it's just that we get to pass them. Given the amount of money a person's going to lose in the next year, I think acceptable to the Champaign County Board is a reasonable thing to have. I do think we need some kind of control, and they are just letting out our control. I think four should not be changed.
Quiz?
Yeah, I'd like to echo something Mr. Betts said earlier, and that is I trust our nursing home board will be empowered to operate this for us. I look at our construction projects. We don't pretend to go in and become a general contractor for the construction projects. We hire IT consultants for some of the IT work we do. We have a lot of opinions, but we don't necessarily have skills in this area. And the nursing home board was selected to operate this for us because there are skills in that area on that board. I intend to support renewing this contract because I think there's a track record of good work being done here, and I would like to give this company an opportunity to work when things aren't dire and see what they can do in a 3-year period where they're succeeding before we go and renew a second time. I would suggest that when that comes up, when this 3-year contract comes up, we do consider completing the RFP, and we do it only for the parents that we can actually have a chance to do that.
Jan?
Looking back to 3 years ago, I was hesitant in the beginning too, and skeptical. But according to the presentation from the county, was willing to give it a chance and having been on that board, and I think that I could probably put in this on board meeting too. I'm really pleased with the progress of what MPA and comparing the information that we get to that when I was justice chair, and we were dealing with a lot of other issues, we had less time to spend on just the nursing home, and we get so much more information, not only in our board meetings, but we've given updates by the New York Times and anything else that comes up that the MPA feels that would be well for the board to be aware of the clean meetings, and that's much appreciated. But I think if you looked at the materials, the progress we've made in reducing the contract nurses, which has a cost, and not only financially, but morale-wise, affects the quality of care as well. Complaints from employees have been reduced. The financial picture looks a lot better, but still the cash flow is very tight, and regulations seem to be changing constantly, and we're faced with the possibility of Medicaid payments being reduced and perhaps even Medicare. So it's a constant balancing act, and I think it would be really precarious to make a change at this time, and I certainly will be supporting the union contract and hopefully others will as well.
Just go back to those rumors that you've seen tonight. It's roughly $900,000. I would point out, though, that about $300,000 of that is for salaries for the administration for the recruitment of an accountant that we would have paid anyway if we would have employed the association. Just subtracting $1,000 from that as far as the cost of money, which we would pay for anyway. So now we're down to the basic fees, which is $180 a year plus salary plus the good thing like that. That's what I'm talking about.
Anyone else? Ralph? Like Tom, I've been around here while a lot of us is on the phone. My experience with nursing home actually goes back to the time when the county board was hiring lawyers from Florida to break the union in nursing home. Nursing home has always been a place of contention. It's an unhappy place. It's not, by its very nature, it cannot be happy. But I will say this about that. There seems to be a quote. There is a lower level of complaint and anguish coming out of the nursing home than we've had for quite some time. And inasmuch as this contract is not in perpetuity, I see no harm in extending it.
Was that Ralph quoting Nixon? I'm just making sure I've got this right. I've got Al here first. Al.
When I first came on, there was a lot of attention at the nursing home. There were quite a few, in fact, nearly hundreds of complaints coming down to the nursing home. I look back this past year and I saw 29. That to me is progress. Some of them were perhaps not the most flagrant problems, but I have to look as a businessman at business. This is a business. Even though we take care of residents, we have a great reputation. Word of mouth in this county is that the nursing home is probably one of the best nursing homes in this county, and perhaps in southern Illinois. We wouldn't have that kind of reputation if we had a poor management team. Dollar-wise, as a business professional, when I see a $1.8 million deficit to a $400 million profit, I'm saying this progress. When you can make a nursing home profitable, and in most cases nursing homes are only profitable on the backs of its residents. This nursing home, I think this management team earns another contract.
Anyone else for the first time around who has not spoken yet? Okay, I've got Carol, then Patsy.
I just want to step on two issues because other people want to be on the board. One is that the appointed nursing home board is still at the discretion of this board to be appointed regardless to who runs the nursing home. Whether you have an administrator of the nursing home or a private company running the nursing home, that board is still appointed by this board. And they are not going to be selling and they don't come to the company. The second thing is, have we actually had an audit of the nursing home since the beginning? Have we shifted money that we were losing at $2 million and shifted it into a private contract at $2 million? Have we really reduced the cost of contract nursing? You know, we didn't have an outside audit, not an internal audit, but an outside one to really measure the effectiveness. I understand this is a little important that, you know, you're right at the end of this, and this is a timing issue why this was not on the committee agenda prior to the contract ending. I remember Mr. Clifford asked for this item to be on, but we never got to that point. So I do understand why people want to exclude the contract. I just want to say, from a public standpoint, that we just went through a half an hour discussion about COPA and get to $1 million item and say, hey, just give it on the way. They did a great job, but leave that as is. Maybe they are. Perhaps they are. And it looks like on all four fronts that they're going to absolutely support that. But we really need to know that as a board, an administrative board, prior to us just saying, hey, here's the next contract, take them away. I think that that is the process of this board that is, I hope the new board will take exception to.
There was a point of clarification before Patsy continues.
The nursing home is audited by the outside auditor each year. So it has been audited each year of operation under MPA. And the year 2008, the nursing home suffered a net loss of $1.8 million. In fiscal year 2010, they ended the fiscal year about $200,000 in the black, and that includes all payments that are made to MPA for the operation during the year.
Patsy?
First, I have an information question. I recommended for the nursing home board. As I said, the board wants the nursing home board to approve the administrator. They want the contract for 3 years, and then they want to remove, I'm quoting, remove kill penalty from the contract. What is the kill penalty?
Ellen?
That particular paragraph was installed at the start of their duties for the express purpose that if something happened to the nursing home at the time they took over, that we would have basically a kill clause. It's no longer necessary. It's no longer together. You know, it's not needed right now. So the board and MPA discussed this, and that was the reason why we took it out.
Mr. Nato is correct. The nursing home was in such dire straits when they came in that this board wasn't sure the nursing home was going to continue to exist and didn't want to be stuck with a 3-year contract to MPA if the nursing home actually went under. And if you look on pages 78 and 79 of your packet, that is the language that they are referring to be stricken. And it's been replaced with a different out clause in terms of, you know, if this contract needed to be terminated.
Thank you. I thought I had to do that, but I appreciate the clarification. I, in response to Mr. Nudo saying my comments were so short term, I agree with his family. This item should have been on our agenda 2 months ago so we could have had some of this conversation and not be down to the usual thing that happens whenever in a time crunch and we have to make a decision. I cannot support a 3-year extension of the contract. I could possibly support 18 to 24 months with the proviso, as Mr. Pusenberry said, that we don't go through this short term and then we have a chance to talk about this long term on how we can handle the nursing home and not just say, okay, you've got to have a contract up or out, and that's it.
Brad, one microphone, please. I would like the opportunity. Is there anyone else? I'm going to give everybody else one more chance, and I'd like to make a couple comments if that's all right with you, Brad. Anyone else? Okay, so I try to wait till the end, and I just have some very quick comments. First 4 years I was on the board, we talked about nursing home 80% of the time. 80% of the time. So anybody who's been on fairly new, you know it hasn't been nearly that much. And those that were on at that time know the pain. There is still a lot of work to be done. Absolutely, there's a lot of work to be done. Things are more tenuous than you can imagine with regard to our ability to keep this revenue positive, net positive.
It's been said several times, but think about that. We were losing $1.8 million. We're talking about over $100,000 a month at one point, over $100,000 a month. Remember, we cut the daycare center in the nursing home for those that were here because things we're looking to trim anything. For those that were here, you remember that. Tom, I agree. Time for RFQ at a later time. Yes, not now. $1 million spent? Well, we've saved a hell of a lot more than that. Just looking at $1.8 million in the hole at the time, Pius brought up good points regarding what that $1 million spent really means with regard to administrator salary and all of that. I spent a lot of time talking with Mike Scavato at NPA. We talk about the legislative end of things. You know, he's in contact with Senator Ferris, Senator Ryder, other senators from around the state, looking at our reimbursement rate, trying to stay a step ahead because it's incredibly unpredictable right now. The JCAR, the IGT, the transfer is something where we've lost money on Medicaid beds, and we want to be a Medicaid-heavy home because that's what we want to be, but we can't afford to be. MPA, somebody said it earlier, understands how the state operates. They are fighting for that. They are fighting for it. Now, they have been with other counties for a long time. DeKalb, we talked about DeKalb a lot, but they've been with other counties as well, helping them out of the woods and into profitability for a long time. Listen to our reps. You know, Alan and Jan worked this. When we assign people from our board to be reps, I've been lucky to be on negotiating teams for the nursing home. Alan and Jan are on that board, and I believe them. Did you hear what they said? I believe. That's all I have to say about that. Anyone else? Ready to vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Good discussion. Next up is an approval of resolution authorizing application for a public transportation capital assistance grant under IDOT from nursing homes. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By Stan, seconded by Pius. Discussion. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C from the RPC. Ordinance for the County of Champaign, Illinois to affect the Intermediary Relending Program, IRP, with Rural Redevelopment. Is there a motion for approval by Stephanie? Is there a second? By Geraldo. Discussion. Al.
Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any question about the nursing home, too.
Are you sure? I would use the number.
No.
So I'll have to get you in on the next one. I'm in favor of the RPC world development, but I would like to know how many of these loans are not up to date. We've made loans before through the RPC for business development. A couple of millions, actually a few million.
More than a couple.
More than a couple of million.
Yeah.
How do we stand on the payment of those loans?
So you're asking about the existing loan programs?
Yes.
Our current loan portfolio is about $7.2 million that we have loaned to about 55 businesses in Champaign County. Our default rate, if you will, and we're a little bit friendlier about, you know, how we default on loans than the bank is, we generally run about 2% or a little bit lower than that. I would say that we're starting to get up in that area where we might be seeing our default rate run at, you know, 4 or 5%. And then I would say that probably somewhere between 25 and 30% of our current loans are underperforming. So, in other words, we may have converted them to interest-only payments or come up with a new payment schedule in some fashion. They weren't able to meet the payments the way that they were scheduled.
Diane.
I think before, maybe you're talking 98, 120.
It could vary. It's basically, we put something in non or underperforming at about 90 days. We have a protocol between, you know, 0 and 90 days that we follow with our loan clients, but once we get 90 days behind.
Do you work any of these out and renegotiate them and try again?
All of them.
I mean, the two and less than two is great, but 4 or 5 is not the goal.
Well, it is, but again, it's just symptomatic of what's happened with the economy. And again, keep in mind that as a general rule, we have 3 different loan programs now. We're talking about adding a third one. 2 of those 3 in particular are intended to be higher risk loans. So we're sort of taking on some risk that a traditional lender wouldn't normally take on. So the fact that our default rate is creeping up, you know, maybe in that 4 or 5% range, considering the type of loans we're making, is still not too bad. And part of the reason that we're able to keep it like that is exactly what you said. If somebody misses a payment, I mean, we have contact with them immediately. We sit down with them, we look at their financials, and we come up with a plan. And that plan may be that because they're going through a temporary downturn in their business, maybe we convert to interest-only payments for a period of months. We absolutely do, and we do that with all of our clients, with the exception of those who won't work with us. And we do have a few of those.
And then finally, my last question is, do you have charge-off amounts or
I'm sorry.
Charge-off amounts, or am I talking out of school?
I'm sorry.
Charge-off.
Charge-off, well.
Do you have things of that nature?
We do. I would say in a typical year, we budget somewhere between $25,000 and maybe $40,000 for charge-offs. I can tell you that in this particular year, it's going to be significantly higher than that.
Anyone else for first questions with Ken? Carol?
Well, I didn't bring all the detailed criteria, but this is a loan program that is aimed exclusively at rural areas, first of all. We could fund any, you know, sort of legitimate, reasonable type of business. And we go through the same criteria bank does, you know. Do you have the financial strength? Do you have a business plan? Do you have an accountant? Do you have financial projections? I mean, you have to do all that. You can't just walk in and get money. But it's aimed at businesses in rural areas that will create jobs in rural areas. But this program is different than the other ones we have in that local governments are also eligible to borrow from this program. Our other programs are geared only to businesses. We can't make public sector loans. But in this particular program, we could make loans to communities of 25,000 population or less.
Patsy. Mike.
It's from paragraph 2, and I get at page 108, and I just wonder if it was because of the proofread. I'm down on line 3 after 250,000. Do businesses located in rural areas and communities of less than 25,000 comment, as well as communities of less than 25,000? Is that a sentence?
Yes.
Hold on.
The second time he's referring to more than just Champaign County, he's referring to several counties.
I think it's to businesses in the first case and to communities in the second case.
Well, it could have been phrased better, but it does it says business and communities first, and then I think Deb is right. The intent with the add-on there is to say that this is not limited to Champaign County.
Okay, then solve it by just putting a semicolon after the first 25,000.
Are we talking about home development?
It could be if there is job creation tied to it. In other words, we wouldn't be able to make a loan to let's say someone that's it's in the ag industry that says, you know, I farm this land, you know, myself, my son, you know, I need to invest in some type of farm development, but I'm not going to create any jobs. It's still going to be just me and my son. So there's job creation required.
I'm talking about actual structures, residences. Would you lend money to somebody who wanted to put up a half a dozen homes on your property?
Yes. We can't do residential. This is for business.
This is business only?
Yes.
Alan?
I agree with what you're saying, but I'd really like you to check the secret for rural growth, you know, which is Phil, what do you call it, Phil?
In Phil, yeah.
We have a developer, which is a business. The government can receive funds to put in TIF monies for infrastructure, and then they get their money back, you get your money back as homes are sold. And it saves the community a lot of money up front to do the infrastructure. So I can see some rural growth without infringing on ag areas if they stay inside their boundaries. So you said you check that out. I really encourage you to do that because I think we can get some rural growth going in TIF districts. Thank you.
Anything else? Ready to vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks.
Next up is from the clerk, resolution authorizing acceptance agreement between Champaign County and the Illinois State Board of Elections for a voter registration state grant. Is there a motion for approval by Al? Is there a second by Pius? Is there any discussion on it? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. County Administrator.
Because I've been gone, the first three reports aren't available this evening. I will get them down and just get them sent out to you for information before the board meeting next week. So the first item is number 4, approval of budget transfer, 11-00011. This is, as is explained in the memo in the packet, to separate the IT division of county's operations into a separate department so that we can more easily determine what is the true cost of our information technology infrastructure countywide.
Is there a motion for approval on that?
So moved.
By Chris, seconded by Stan. Questions for Deb? Carol.
No.
What is it?
It is an administrative services budget. And I would like to have IT have its own budget so that from the perspective of planning and...
Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, the next item is a recommendation for a change to the budget, annual budget process with regard to the county board's review and participation in the annual budget process. As most of you are probably aware, we have, for the past several years, conducted legislative budget hearings for 2, maybe 3 evenings, 2 to 3 hours each, where you are presented with, you know, the budgets, some of them consolidated for all 56 of the county's funds, which total over $110 million in expenditures typically. And this is an attempt, it's virtually impossible to review the budget with any great detail with the entire county board. You would have to be here for days. But this is an idea to engage all of you, at least in some portions of each of the budgets that are presented to you and eventually adopted and approved by you in November. So this would, this recommendation is that you would sign up to be a budget reviewer and that each department would then individually present their budgets to those board members who are assigned as reviewers, and any other board members who were interested in attending obviously could, but just to get a little bit more direct interaction at a more specific level with the elected officials and department heads and the county board.
Is there a motion to approve this recommendation by Carol? Is there a second?
Okay.
Second by Astrid. Discussion. Jim.
comments with a question. You're wanting us to fill out and indicate the ones that 1 through 5, and we would be picked for 3. Is that the way I read it?
Well, I think every board member, depending on how many board members choose to participate, that's why I'm asking for 5. It may only be 2, it may be 5. But we kind of have to see what the board's interest is in this and see what kind of response we get.
And I guess further on that question, I'm looking at it and then I'm thinking about that I'd like to have an area to maybe learn a little bit more about it.
Right.
Since I'm on the nursing home board and a health board, I would assume that I would pick something else so someone else could find out a little bit more about this.
And I think that's a great way to look at it.
I'm just wondering if I'm looking at it.
Okay. Any other questions? Carol, go ahead.
We schedule on 124. Is that tense to death? And once you get these back, will you then send some notification as to?
This is definitely a draft. Yeah, because, you know, the elected officials and department heads' availability and the budget reviewer board members' availability, we'll have to sync all that together into a schedule. But this is just to give you an idea of what that schedule could look like.
Anybody else on this? Chris?
What will the state of the budgets be at the time that they're brought to this process?
Basically, the departments will have prepared their request for fiscal 2012. They will have reviewed it to me. The revenues will have been vetted, and then they will present to you what their budget looks like.
Is that something that will be released publicly or can be released publicly at that point or prior to that point?
Well, the entire budget is released publicly at your October meeting.
I understand that, but this is before the October meeting. So you're saying the requests have not been made public in the past?
No.
Do you feel that it's appropriate to make or not make the request public? The reason I ask is one of the issues that arose during the campaign. Something I was really interested in doing was, you know, encouraging people to complain about the county spending money, not when they get their tax bill, but when it might actually do some good, which is where they see what services the county is using their money to pay for, because I think people are, you know, largely unknowledgeable about all the things that the county does other than send them a tax bill every year. So I think to the extent that we can make information available early so that those few members of the public who actually are interested can be encouraged to look at it and maybe come to their county board members with concerns and say, hey, why are they asking for that, or why are we spending the money on that, so that we can actually bring that up in a timely fashion might be a significant improvement to the process. Now, having not been through this process before, I don't know to what extent, you know, this information is sensitive in terms of personnel information that might be contained in it, or, you know, department heads being concerned about making requests if they knew that was going to be public. But I'm just trying to get at how much transparency we can inject into the process so that if there are citizens out there who are interested in getting involved, we can get them involved other than just having to come to the meeting where we vote up or down on the budget.
And I'm not sure that releasing this information as it's presented to you, which is very department specific, would, I'm not sure how we would release it to the public and how it would address that concern, but I think you make a valid point, and there are many counties and county boards who at that point or shortly thereafter would conduct a public hearing and to invite the public and to maybe talk about what are the financial critical issues for this budget that you're going to be receiving in October and approving in November. And that's certainly something that might be very worthwhile. And at that point, I mean, what these 3 days will involve is hundreds of pages of information, which is not terribly friendly, public friendly, but to find a way to make it public friendly, I think is what you're asking for.
Well, I guess, I like I said, I'm new to this process, so I don't know the relevant costs that would be involved in taking this raw material and making it public friendly. I'm not sure I want to spend additional money on that. But, you know, it seems like if this information is being communicated to board members electronically, it could probably be made available to the public electronically through the county website or similar manner. I don't understand yet what form this is in, but I think it's something that we don't have to decide tonight, but it's something we ought to be thinking about, because I do think that there's a problem with the way the county has historically done the budget, and that, you know, by the time someone in the public, the press, individuals out there who are particularly interested get involved in the process, it's usually just to come to the meeting where we vote up or down on the budget, at which point it's really too late to make any I think, effective prioritization of how the county's proposing to develop the budget.
Although some of that prioritization you're about to do in the next document that you're going to approve here tonight.
Patsy.
It's an information question that might build on what Mr. Alex is moving toward. It says department budget request shall be performance-based and focused on goals, objectives, and performance indicators. Is that kind of information?
It is all on our website right now. The 2011 budget has all of that information in it. You can look at individual department budgets, and that information is there.
So what we will be doing is juxtapositioning of what the request for 2012 will be against what they have there for 2011. Is that accurate?
Well, what you will be looking at is their statement of their operation and their need for funding for their operations, looking at what they actually spent in 2010, what they are anticipating will be spent in 2011, and what they are requesting for 2012. And it is focused in the area, the attempt is to focus in the area of what is achieved with the dollars that are appropriated to that department through the statement of objectives and performance indicators.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? As everyone knows that sat through the budget hearings, this would probably be an improvement because, like Deb said, you know, a lot of money being discussed in short order, and this will allow board members to dig a little deeper. I think that'll be it's worth trying. The budget hearings have generally not been as effective as maybe we would like. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, and then the next item is the 2012 budget process resolution. A couple of changes with this resolution. One of the primary ones is previously, the annual budget process resolution also included the financial policies. I don't think we need to adopt the financial policies every year, so we'll bring you a separate resolution in June for you to adopt financial policies, which should stand into the future until we find something that we need to amend or approve. So this resolution does not include those policies, which in previous years it has. It includes the calendar, taking into consideration what you just approved with regard to the county board's budget review. The direction for general corporate fund budget request is that they pay close attention to revenue line items to ensure that if there are fees that should be reviewed, that is done during this process, and that if there is any revenue structure changes that should be considered, that is done during this process as well. Non-personnel expenditure lines are entered by salary administration in administrative services based on your direction. In June, you will also receive a resolution for non-bargaining salary increases, and of course, almost every labor contract is expired or will have expired by November 30th. So we will, what we budget for salaries is based on what those contract agreements end up being. So that will be a work in progress throughout this budget process. For non-personnel expenditure lines, and again, this is for the general corporate fund department, this would direct them to incorporate a 0% change to their non-personnel expenditures for fiscal year 2012, with the exception of contractual obligations that they have that are based on competitively negotiated contracts for services, and documented need for increases based on changes in cost and commodity lines such as gasoline and oil, postage, things like that, which would be documented for you. That's for the general corporate fund departments. For non-general corporate fund budget requests, that they would be presented and prepared for you in compliance with your balanced budget definition. That fund balance information will be required, would be provided, including any explanation of any change in fund balance of 10% or more, and documentation and analysis of their operations, expenditures, and revenues. This also directs that the capital asset replacement fund be funded in 2012 with full funding for future reserve, which has not been done for the last 2 years. And it would also provide direction from you that the contingent line be funded at 0.5% for the general corporate fund. Based on this year's budget, that would be right about $160,000 in the contingent line. This also directs that property tax revenue be calculated based upon the property tax extension limitation law. And that's basically what direction you would be providing at this point before we begin the budget process for the preparation of the budget to come back to you in August and September.
Is there a motion to approve the resolution? By Larry, seconded by Geraldo. Discussion? Pius.
I've looked at the calendar, and I think we have a problem with that. We see the place on file, the budget, the 20th, and vote on it on the 17th. 15
days.
Pardon?
The requirement is 15 days. No, we thought it was 30, 3 years ago.
Chris?
Is the 0.5% contingency customary, or has that been reduced or increased in recent years?
Well, before 2009, the goal was 1%. And it hasn't, out of the last 10 years, it's probably been funded maybe 3 years as you begin the budget process.
Three
out of 10 years. You know, it's a goal at this point that we may come back to you.
7 out of 10 years, it's zero out.
Yeah. And that could yet happen with this process, but that's a decision you would make at that point.
Well, I guess I'm not going to get much traction suggesting we raise it to 1%. It hasn't been debated in 7 out of 10 years, so I'll call it.
We always really, 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 really needed something. And there it went. So how it always works. Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Deb. Mm-hmm. Motion to accept the Treasurer's report placed on file by Brad, or second by Lloyd. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Tony did email me earlier. He said that the bad purchases report will be emailed. Is there a motion to put his report on file? By Al, second by Astor. Any questions on that? James?
How do we put a report on file for the MCP?
It's in the
back. Just the bad purchases are not there yet. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. There's no other business. Is there any other business I should ask? Now,
one quick clarification on the email that you see. It's corrected, but also, when the commission may be discussing more than one matter.
Can you speak up, Al? You speak up.
Okay. Under discussion with the commission, we have to discuss it more, but it says here second map. It could mean maps. We will have perhaps multiple maps coming to the board on the 19th. But there has been discussion of that possibility. So I want to make it clear that it could be more than one map.
And I just talked to Pius. Any other business not necessarily related to finance, Al Almudo?
Everybody has in front of them, and I apologize for delaying in time. I didn't have my name right. A multi-column chart here that I'm going to suggest we add to the two committee the whole process. The reason why I didn't introduce it during the discussion is because we're missing five of our rural guys and they're out farming, and I want to have them appear to this to have participation in the discussion. I would encourage everybody to take a look at this and give me some thoughts on how we can make it better. But what I'm getting at here is I know that most people are dissatisfied with how Committee of the Whole works in terms of length of time, discussion being unorganized in terms of how people are called upon to speak. We have in our Robert's Rules, actually, the first person to speak only after everybody has spoken the first time. And it's pretty hard as the chair to keep track of it. Brendan does a great job of it. But it's pretty hard to keep track of who has spoken and who has not spoken. And I think for the purpose of conversation, I'd like to get, this is something that Kat put together for me, and I'm very appreciative. The number of minutes that shows there, it could be 5 minutes for the first time, it could be 3 minutes for the second. I don't have a horse in the race as far as the amount of time. But this should force all speakers to collect their thoughts and say what they want to say in one opportunity, or at most, it's a spirited discussion, two opportunities. And finally, you can have final comments there. But I really, and this is done in a number of different governmental bodies right here in the county where times are kept, where people are, they keep track of who speaks and who doesn't speak. And I'm just wanting to get a little more organized in this. And yet, I don't want to cut off discussion for committee in the whole. That's where I think we get the most discussion, the most opportunity for people to explain or ask questions, that kind of thing. So if you have multiple questions, instead of doing it three or four different times, be prepared to speak one time and say it, ask your questions all at once. And I'm not expecting debate on this right now. I'm just saying I'm going to introduce this. I'm going to lobby people in between the time of now and the next meeting and get your thoughts. So that's all I'm trying to get to the balance here.
Mr. Lewis is correct. Once you have the floor, you can ask as many questions as you want. We have this tendency to say, if I have another question, you don't have to ask that. Just do it. You have the floor, you can speak. One thing I can do is we can actually start keeping track of the time people. Figure out what is it, and the average amount of time we're speaking on items. Maybe do that for a couple of months. And I can buy a little time and have to do that. Just to collect some data. We like data, right?
I'm open to how we can make our committee of whole more organized, go faster, and yet give everybody the opportunity to ask their questions and have them report and everybody have the collective process and how they want to speak to the body. Thank you.
Al, I have to disagree. There are times during discussions when questions pop in our minds that we don't have time before speaking. That's the first thing, you know, someone else brings up a point. My constituents expect me to work for them in this county. And to be confined to a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, I don't feel comfortable with that at all. I feel I have to make my point, and then I have to respond to another question, another concern that I should have that right as an elected official. And I certainly don't agree that I should be limited to a 3 minute and then a 2 minute and then a 1 minute, and then say, well, sorry, Al, you can't talk anymore because, well, we don't have enough time. So I think we do, and I think we need to have as much time as we need to discuss any of this.
But not to combat that, but we should just get all the comments down to Alan, right, because that's what you're asking for is comments to go. So rather than have all the discussion now, get in the comments so that we can introduce it and then discuss it. Fair?
Yeah.
All right, Carol?
Well, you approved the date change, and I assume that we could put an amended calendar for June through November with the resolution when you approve it at the board meeting next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no chair's report for finance. The consent agenda items for finance are A1, B1, C1, D1, and E4, 5, and 6. I'm sorry, A1 doesn't go to the board. Thanks, Deb. And on to PIAS for the closed session notes.
All right, seek approval of three of the whole minutes for the closed session, April 12, 2011. If you want to look at it, we'll approve it for a second. Examiners, discussion. We want discussion of the closed session. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We're adjourned.